Action. Showtime.
That's a bad movie. I think you said that. You don't want that now.
Starring Mark. Here we are, Hollywood Square. Starring Mark Platnick. All right, let's continue. Bahalaisko. Yesterday we did the long Rashi. We really finished the last pasuk. The last pasuk. No, we just did not yet do the targum. So let's read pasuk dalet. Let's go back to Perikhes pasuk dalet. Perikhes pasuk dalet is the Masa Hamenorah. This is the Masa Hamenorah. Nikshe Zahav. It shall be made from gold, right? Beaten from one piece of gold. Ad Yerecha, Ad Pirecha. Rashi taught us Yerecha means the box. The box, the base and the bottom. Ad Pirecha, the flower. Nikshe Hi, it should be one piece of metal. Kamare. It should look like the image of what Asher Hero Hashem es Moshe, what Hashem showed Moshe. Cain also as Hamenorah, and so did Moshe, who did also as in the past tense, was the menorah made. We learned yesterday that Asa means it was made by itself. Does not say Cain Asu, Cain. The word Asa, according to Rashi, means the one who made the menorah. The one that made the menorah was none other than Hashem himself, because it was too complex for Moshe to comprehend. So Moshe himself, so Hashem made the menorah min Hashemayim. Okay, it says, you know, see the Targum. Targum, and we need the Targum, the Zeh, the Dain. Oivad Minorto. The following is the Oivad. Oivad means the Maaseh of the Minorto. Negida. Now, the word Negida is a very important word. And the commentators that discuss, you should know that it is this, what I'm reading from right now, I just want to let you know, what I'm reading from right now, the Art Scroll edition of Unkelis is awesome. It is, there's nothing like it. They have it's like an interlinear, they take the pasuk, and right beneath each word of the pasuk, they have the Targum. And then, of course, they have Rashi as well, you know, Rashi with Nikudos as well. And then they have on the bottom, they elucidate, they translate the Targum, and then there are notes which elaborate. Now, what they did over here is something that is awesome. In the Targum itself, they've put in bold the words that are unusual, or labeled, say, are suspicious. Okay, the Targum translates the pasuk. So, for example, in this sentence, it says, Vizeh, V'dein. Okay, straightforward. I mean, you can do whatever you want, you can make any deal you want, but in the Art Scroll, they're trying to bring out some points. They have an agenda. The agenda is to show you that, at least a little bit, to show you the Targum is trying to give us, in a very subtle way, a commentary. The Dain, this, Oivad, is the Maaseh. Minorto, Hamenorah is Minorto. Then when it says the word Mikshah, in the Art Scroll, when they put the Hebrew word beneath the word Mikshah, the Hebrew word is Negida, and that word is in bold. In contrast to all the other words of the word so far, to indicate that this word is a chefetz choshud, is suspicious, because it's not the word you would expect. If you are a PhD in Aramaic from Bar Ilan University, and you were given the assignment to translate the scripture, the pasuk, into Aramaic, it's not likely you would use the word Nigida for the word Miksha. There are better words. There are better words than the word Miksha, than Nigida. We translate, Rashi taught us, the word Miksha means we have one Eshes Shel Zahav, a mass, a bulk of gold. And Rashi tells us two tools, the kornos and another tool Rashi mentioned. He said over here there's a kornos and a chashil. I never heard of that word before. Never paid much attention to this Rashi. Chashil is the name of a tool that's used to chisel out, to etch out gold, to make from the gold, this big mass of gold, a one-piece menorah. And that's what it means, miksha. Rashi says, makish. The word miksha comes from the word makish. Makish means to hit. You take a hammer and you bang, you bang, you bang, you bang. So the word miksha is miloshoin makish. Kish means to hit. The Targum disagrees. The Targum disagrees. Targum has a different word to translate the word miksha. Negida. Negida means to pull, to stretch, to stretch. There's a very big difference between stretching and beating. When you want to have a student, and you want to get him in shape.
When you hit, don't you stretch it? When you bang on it.
Not necessarily. No, not necessarily. It's a different technique. You have a rebbe. You have a rebbe. Look at the difference in the Vardik and Slobodka. In the Vardik, they focused on the shiflos ha'adam. A man is a piece of garbage. The boy should dress in shmatis. The assignment for the day was to go into the bakery and ask, wait online for half an hour, social distance with a mask. When you finally get to the counter, you ask, can I please have some nails and lumber? Lumber and nails. That's what the assignment was. And the person behind the counter would either laugh at you or would go into a tirade. You mishugna, you're wasting our time here, you wait online here, you're putting us in danger. And you want nails and lumber? You mishugna. And you would curse the guy out, and he would walk out of the store humiliated. Mission accomplished. Exactly. In Slobodka, they were like mayor. An odom mechubat, a nice shaved beard, walk around with a big smile. Everyone bows down to you. An odom mechubat. Everyone, the godless Adam, the greatness of man, everyone would wear the finest clothing, the finest hats, the clothing were pressed. Everything had to be perfect, the greatness of man. There's a different mahalach in life. There's a way of making something by beating something up. You have a Talmud, you bang on him, you zets him, you humiliate him. And then there's a way to create a Talmud by pulling him towards you with love. Unconditional love. Which approach is better? The answer depends. There's no answer to that question. In our generation, obviously, we don't work with Navarre. Okay, obviously. But in previous generations, that was the only way to go. That's the way you become great. Okay, just because we live in America doesn't mean that this is the only way to live. Okay, there's a whole history of life before us. So people are different the focus in life. So we have over here the menorah. The menorah represents the fashioning of a student of a Talmud Chacham. How do you make a Talmud Chacham? Rashi says, so the Torah says, miksha. The way you make the menorah is miksha. How you do miksha? Machloikis, Rashi, and the Targum. Rashi says, miksha, miloshan of makish. You take, Rashi was a Baal Musar. Rashi lived during the time of the First Crusade. The Balei Tosfos, they were Balei Musar. Rashi reflected this interpretation in his parish. You take a hammer and you give a zetz. The student doesn't behave, you give him a frask. Makish, bekurnos, and v'choitech, you cut. You chop off the heads of the Talmidim with a chashil. Unkelis lived in different times. Unkelis lived more than 1,000 years before Rashi. A different world. And Unkelis said, you know what it means? What it means in miksha? It doesn't mean violence. It means yemoshech. Negida. Nagid means to pull. Negida is to pull, is to draw. The way you make the menorah is not through violence. It's through a delicate act of love, of pulling it towards you.
You came from the Western civilization. From the Greeks, right?
Right. It was a different time, a different era. We're blind. There's no way we can possibly understand it. But this is an amazing insight. Everything I told yesterday, when you learn Rashi, whatever Rashi says is a Rashi is not operating in a vacuum. Rashi is responding. The perush of Rashi is a response. It's a violent attack on the Targum. That's Rashi's mahalach. And here is one example. is a very subtle difference that you would never know if not for Art Scroll telling us this. Art Scroll is not telling you that a lot of things according to you, according from my other sefer, which disappeared. The sefer that I started off with, I don't know, one world happened to it. It's not even one, I borrowed it, I better go find it, I can't know it, I came all over the place, I can't find it, I don't know what happened to it. But in the meantime, I was like, the Art Scroll came out this week, right in the nick of time. So I have the Art Scroll. The Art Scroll quotes all these Mefarshim over here. They were very selective in what they wanted to quote. And what is awesome, awesome, is how the Art Scroll they make is interlinear. How they put the Targum right underneath the word of the Chum Mikra. And when they want to comment that the word the Targum used is suspicious, is the Chifetz Choshud, they highlight that word by putting it in bold to draw your attention. Don't be fooled to think that this is just a simple translation. The word that the Targum selected is controversial. The Haraya, Rashi seems to argue with the Targum, with the Ungulus. Nigida, okay, the half of gold. Now here's the next controversial word, Ad Yerecho. I'm losing you, I don't hear you. I can't hear your voice. Mayor, you hear him?
The cane of Menorah to God making the machine and Targum of how it was made. If Hashem made it.
Einochinami. At the end of the day, Hashem made it. But there are still instructions how it should be made. You're right. Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud. Because the making of the menorah is symbolic. When Hashem told Moshe to make a menorah, he's teaching Moshe that the menorah represents Torah. And the making of the menorah, in essence, is to make Talmidim. He'emidu Talmidim harbei. Mishnah Pirkei Avos. So even though when everything was said and done, it was a miracle, it happened by itself. Hashem made the menorah, that's right, the menorah itself. But there are lessons to learn in the instructions of how the menorah should be made. Mark, you hear me? You're fading out, Mark. You're frozen.
Your sound coming through. My sound?
Your sound? Mayor, do you hear me?
I don't know.
Mayor, do you hear me? Well, my sound is going in and out. Do you hear me?
No.
Let me check with some other people over here. Mayor, is my sound going in and out?
When Mark speaks, the whole place becomes he must have an interface or something.
I can hear you.
Feedback problem.
Do you hear me clearly, Mayor?
Put on your phone now.
Do you hear me clearly, Mayor?
I hear you clearly.
Mr. Kolodny, you hear me clearly?
Yes, it may be Kolodny, very clear.
All right, so I don't know what's going on. Mark, you got to make sure you have some good Wi-Fi.
I'm going to go out here.
You have good Wi-Fi where you're located?
Yes. I'm here.
All right.
Okay, no worries.
Let's see, let's go by it. Ad, now here's the next one. Ad Yerecho. Ad Shidah. A box. Now we learned yesterday in Rashi when it said the word Yerecho. Yerecho Rashi, Yerecho hi hashida. They're in agreement. Okay, they're in agreement. There's no contradiction between Rashi and I don't know why they're highlighting it. I guess they have a parish on this. Yerecho, both Rashi and the Targum are on the same page. Yerecho means the bottom, the base. The base means that big box we saw today in the picture in the Arch of Titus. On the very, very bottom there's a box. Next, Ad Pircha Shoy Shana. A flower. Now that's a very interesting word that the Targum selected because for flowers, there are many types of flowers. There is Chavatzeles Hashoron, there's Kishoshana Ben Hachoichim Kein Doidi Ben Habonois. The word Shoshana is an interesting word, which over here, at least of what the Mefarshim I have here, do not discuss. That's the flower. Okay, there are many flowers. There are thousands, if not millions, of varieties of flowers. And there are different words for flowers, different colors of flowers. And the fact that it's selected over here, the word Shoshana, is a statement. I don't know what it means. Miksha Negida Hi Kechezva, like the Mare, Di Achazi Hashem Yos Moshe Ken Avad Yos Minorto, so we made the menorah. Okay, so we're finished. Okay, so we've gone through here the Rashi and Targum on the parish of the menorah. Now we go to the next sugya, the sugya of the Levim. This is Mayor's favorite sugya, because this is the parish of the Levim. The Levim have been selected to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. The Levim were always different. That's what Rashi is going to tell us. They always were different. Always have to stand out. Have a whole different agenda. B'chol Torah Kula. Vayidah Rashi Al Rosh Aleimar. Kach es ha-Levim. Mitoich b'nei Yisrael v'tiyar to'isam. The Eretz Yisrael is take them. How do you take them? How do you take them? And you shall purify them. Rashi Pasik. Pasik Vav. Kach es ha-Levim. Rashi says, Rashi said before, Kochem bidvadim. The word kach, Rashi holds, the word kach means words. Eloquent speech. Take them with words. Kochem bidvarim. Okay? And that's it. Ashrechem, what are the words? So he tells us the words. This is an incredible Liman Amos, like I told you. Everything in life is in Rashi. And over here, Rashi tells us how to speak to a person. When you want to recruit, let's say you have a job to recruit soldiers. You know, there's no draft, and you have a job to get to recruit someone. You go to the high school graduates and tell people, why don't you come join the army, join the Marines, become a soldier. What do you say to them? You say to them, benefits. You know, we'll pay for your college. You'll have benefits, you'll have this and that. Is that how you recruit soldiers? Well, maybe it works. I don't know what works. Rashi says that when you want to recruit a person for the service, you say to them, the technique that works is to say to them, Ashreichem, you are fortunate, shetisku lihiyos shamashim lamakom, that you are servants to the Ribbono shel Olam. And by extension, if you work for the Pentagon and you're giving the task, you say, don't you want to have the honor of serving your country? That's all you got to say. Rashi figured this all out. The way to a man's mind, if you tell him, we'll give you money, we'll give you a good salary, so you can make more money in the private industry. You'll tell them benefits, this, that. Not all these techniques work. But the ultimate technique is to say to a person that this service is a zuchus. It's a zuchus. It's a merit for you to be a servant to an organization or an authority that is choshev. You tell someone, you know, you're a soldier for the United States. You know, you have to. That is the approach. And here, when it comes to the Ribbono shel Olam, which is infinite, okay, you can't compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu to any other thing. To say to the Levim, you're going to be servants. Ashreichem, fortune are you, shetisku, you will merit liyos shamoshim. Servants, lamakam to Hashem. And notice the words. And each one of these words is molei v'godush of deep meaning. You're going to be a shamosh. It doesn't say an eved. Okay, there are different vocabulary words. It doesn't say a sochir, a worker. He uses a very powerful word as shamosh. A shamosh, lamakam, and the way he refers to Hashem is with the word makam. Makam is the word for Hashem. Okay, let's take a look at the Targum. The Targum, in Pasuk Vav, Kach es ha-Levim, the Targum says the word Kach Korev. Targum is coming to argue, and this is an old machlok. We had this in Parashas Bamidbar, I think we learned this. The word Korev means, does not say Dibur. It appears that the Targum disagrees with Rashi. The word Korev means bring them close. Just draw them in. Doesn't say words. It just says, maybe just means physical force. It's not clear what the Targum means, but it appears from the way the Mefarshim want to analyze, super analyze the word Korev, that it may very well be that Rashi and the Targum disagree as to the technique of Kach. What does Kach really mean? Rashi is a Chiddush, because it doesn't say in the Pasuk words. It said, and the Targum says Korev, which usually is a word of physical proximity. Pull them close, just grab them, physical force, call in the National Guard, and just grab them. Korev yos levo'e migoy b'nei Yisrael, usidake, that word we have a million times, usidake means purify, yos hoim them. Pasuk zayin, v'choy sase lechem taram. Now, here is the way you're going to purify them. Hazei aleihem mechatos. Hazei aleihem mechatos. Pour upon them, sprinkle upon them the mechatos purification water, the ha'eviru sar al kol b'saram, and you shall put a razor over their entire body, the chibasu v'gdehem v'hiteharu, and you shall clean their clothing. Now, what is the chibasu? Does that mean put them in the mikvah? Seemingly yes. V'hiteharu, and you shall purify them. Okay, so the line, there are three things being done over here in this pasuk. Number one is you're gonna take a razor and cut off every last hair on their head. 1 second, I want to tell this guy over here to be quiet. 1 second.
Sorry,
all right, done. Okay, so there's three things going on. I can't hear you, Mark. What do you say? Mark, you there? Mark, you're frozen.
Why is that?
I can't hear you. You're going in and out. Yeah, what?
I'm frozen.
You're frozen. Your voice is going in and out. I don't think it's.
Why is the word?
Yeah. You're frozen.
Okay.
I hear every no. Say talk. Every other word goes in and out though.
Why does sar mean just the head?
No, it means the entire body. It doesn't mean head. I made a mistake. It means the entire body. Every hair in the body. It's a big job. That's a very big job. So I don't. Only one thing I know. If I was living during this
even
time.
Even the pagans?
Yeah. Everything. All I know is.
They're not over there.
No. This Hirasha. All I know is if I was living during this time, I would buy stock in BIC. Because you're going to need a lot of razors.
Harry's razor.
What?
Harry's razor.
I don't know what those things are. I don't know. The view is sar al kol bisaram. Okay, number one is take a razor to the entire body and clean every single thing. Number two is, and what else? You have to clean their clothing. Okay, now let's take a look. And you have to also, the first thing is pour upon them the waters of the mechatas. Why? They're tamei. Why? Why do you have to sprinkle upon them the waters? There are three things in this pasuk: mechatas, asar, and take their clothing and wash them out. What's the purpose of washing their clothing? Let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Zayin. Rashi says, Hazeh aleihem mechatos shel efer aparah b'bnei tmei mesim shevoim. Because so Rashi is very simply, some people, there are a couple of people over there in the group that are tamei mes. And Rashi seems to say, then the question will be, only those people who are tamei mes should need the mechatos. Yet Rashi seems to say, the Pasuk seems to say that every single last person in this group needs mechatas. Amai, why, right? It says, Rashi again seems to indicate that only a couple of people in the entire group of the Levim were tamei meis, and yet every single person there had to be sprinkled with the mechatas. Isn't that a chiddush? That's a pella. Every single Levi needed paraduma water, even though maybe only a very small number of them were actually coming with mechatas. That requires an understanding.
Just like we're afraid of corona from everybody.
You say something very good. You're saying something very, very good. Chazal, the Torah, is saying that when it comes to Tumas Meis, everyone has to be part of the program. You can't make exceptions. You're saying something very good. When someone was Tameh, if there are a few people, everyone has to be part of the same process. You can't have exceptions. Okay, there's what to be said about that. Next. Vivirusar. Now comes the razor. Why the razor? So here we Rashi has a very elaborate interpretation. Matsasi b'divrei Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, a famous person. When did Moshe Hadarshan live? I don't know when he lived. I don't know when we had something Kedai to do research on. Who was Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan? I don't know when he lived. Rashi often quotes him. But I never even thought to even wonder who he is when he lived. But there's a Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, Lefisha Nidnu Kapara al Habachoyres. They would bring atonement. Shenitnu kapara ala b'chayrosh avdu avoy dezara v'hi kuruya zivchei mesim. Let's explain. The Levim here are coming at this point to replace the firstborns. It was plan A that the firstborn of every single family would be the one who would do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. That was plan A, the firstborn. Every single family had a firstborn, he had a firstborn son, he did the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. However, the firstborns worshipped the idol, the egel. So Hashem said, no more. Firstborns, step aside. The firstborns are going to be replaced by the Levim. So the Levim are the replacement for the firstborn who was nichshol in avodah zarah. Now, avodah zarah is the worst type of contamination. Avodah Zarah is like a contamination to the dead. Let's read. They gave a tome for the Bukhara Shavdu Avodazara. The Kri Zivcha Mason. Avodazara is called dead. Dead body needs tahara. Now here comes part B. The Hamitsoira Kri Mace. There's another person that's called dead. Miriam, this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, Miriam at Sarasna, and Hashem said to Miriam, I'll not tilokimes. Let her not be like a dead body. A mitzora is called a mace. A mitzora kari mace. His kikum teglachas. Now there's a special halacha. When a mitzora is purified from the tzaras, it's the only place in the entire Torah where there is a requirement that a human being shave off his body, every single hair on his body. Isn't that amazing? That's a very big, difficult job. To shave off every hair on your body, that is the halachic requirement the Torah demands from a mitzora when he purifies himself. Being that, we're making a gezeira shava. Avodezara is korui mace. A mitzora is korui mace. Just like by a mitzora, you have to shave off every single hair on your body when you purify yourself, so too, when you purify yourself from avodezara, you have to shave off every single hair on your body. Being that the Levim are the atonement, they are going to be the atonement for the firstborns who worshipped Avodah Zarah that are comparable to a Mitzora. That's why the Levim now have to shave off every hair on their body. A little extreme, right? It's a little extreme. The people who worship the idol are like Mitzorahim. And they're like dead people. And therefore they're Tameim. They're Tameim. And the Mitzora requires removal of hair. And the Levim are the atonement for these people. They're the replacement. So when they are initiated into the service, they need atonement for who they represent by shaving off every last hair and besprinkling with the waters of the Paraduma. That's Rashi. Now let's take a look over here at the Targum. The Targum says, Pasuk Zayin, Uchedein, the following, Saveh Lehoin Lidachoi Ehoin, to purify them. Adi. Adi, it means to sprinkle. It's a very good word to memorize. Okay, Adi means to sprinkle. We don't have that word too often. Adi is to sprinkle. That's a good vocabulary word. Alehoin Maya Dechatosa. So these are easy words. And then it says, Vehaviru Sar. V'yabrun maspar al kol bis rohoin, and remove and pass a maspar. What's a maspar? A sapar. How this in the Gemara means a razor. Okay, it's a razor. Al kol bis rohoin. Now comes the chidush of the Targum, and this appears to be big explosive stuff. The next word, it says v'chibesu, and he says here the word v'chavrun. They shall clean their clothing and be pure. Problem is, why are they immersing their clothing, cleaning their clothing? Now, the simple understanding is, when it says kibbutz, and this is how it's used very often in Chumash, is to immerse in a kosher mikvah. Okay? That's what you normally do, to immerse, take the clothing, and you go to a mikvah, and the clothing are tameh, they came in contact with the dead, and you sprinkle upon the clothing the paraduma water, and you then, day three, day seven, whatever it is, then you put it in the mikvah. And that's called kibbutz. Kibbutz in Chumash ordinarily means to immerse the clothing in a kosher mikvah. Now, if that was the case, the correct word would be vitzavun. There's another word that the Targum uses often for cleaning clothing of tahara that begins with the letter tzadi. Tzabun. Tzabun means to purify in the mikvah. The Targum did not say that. The Targum said the word vichavun, which means white. Chivur, white. Which means send it to the dry cleaners. The Levium, you have clothing. We're going to have a ceremony. I want you to send your clothing to the local Chinaman. The dry cleaners, they should be nice and shiny and white. And then, vihi teharu, that's a separate instruction. In addition, you know, purify yourself. Go to the mikvah, and you know, maybe if your clothing are tame, you know, mainly you have to go put the clothing in the mikvah. The Targum here seems to say something very fast, and the word v'chibsum does not mean that it should be immersed in the mikvah. It means that the clothing should be clean. When you show up for duty in the Beis HaMikdash, make sure you're wearing nice, pressed, shiny clothing. Polish, whatever, clean your clothing. Now, this touches upon an incredible concept. What exactly was the uniform of the Levian? We have a whole parasha, Parashas Tetzaveh, describing in utter detail what the clothing of the Kohanim, what they were. Okay, the Kohen Hei, the Kohen Gadol, the whole Parashas Tetzaveh. And then it's repeated another two times in Parashas V'yachav Pekudei. Here, what about the Levium? There's not one word in the entire Torah to tell us the uniform of the Levium. The Levium served. They were the musicians. They sang Shira. Okay, did you see the Dir Shusiyim Hashas, Mark? Did you watch the video? The Dir Shusiyim Hashas? So the musicians were dressed in these gorgeous costumes. The musicians, they were dressed, they were all flown in from Eretz Yisrael. They were dressed in these gorgeous, gorgeous costumes. The Levim in the Beis HaMikdash, what did they wear? What was their costume? It appears that the Targum here is coming to allude to the big secrets. There's an amazing bombshell, one word you would never even know. The Targum is telling us that the Levium wore white garments. The Chavrun means Chivor is white. Make sure your clothing are nice and white. White, clean clothing. Wear a white suit. Wear a kittel. Because the Targum...
They dress like the Parsha de Kahana, except without the other guy.
That's the question. Because the Targum does not give the typical translation of Vitzab. The real word the Targum it should have said was Vitzabun. That's the word the Targum uses elsewhere when the cleaning of the garments are being done for the purpose of ritual purity. And the Targum doesn't say that here, which seems to imply that this is not a matter of ritual purity. Ritual purity is the next word, Vitaharu. This just means that the uniform that the Levim are going to wear should be clean, pristine, white. Okay, this is an amazing word. A little word over here that you can totally overlook, and it's coming to answer this question, what exactly is going on? What about Rashi? Rashi is silent. Rashi does not comment on this point. Next Pasuk has Vlachu Par Ben Bokar. What shall they do? All of them shall take. What a par?
In modern Hebrew,
sabdon is soap. Okay, that's modern Hebrew. In Aramaic, the word there is used for ritual purity.
Right.
Ritual purity.
That's why they built it. They built it on the car. They used it to...
Okay, Enochanami. Modern Hebrew, I mean, unfortunately, we always talk about the chashmal. It's a disgrace to use the word chashmal for electricity. Next. Vilachu par ben bokar. They shall take a par. Ben Bokar, a par, I never knew what that means, a par ben Bokar. I mean, what else? What else a par? Obviously, the word par can be used by different species of animals. There's a par, I don't know, maybe of horses. There's a par of sheep. There's a par of fish. I don't know. I have no idea, but obviously the factor has to go through the motion of telling us that it's a par ben Bokar. It means that there are different types of par. Here's a par ben Bokar. The meal offering shall be soilless, blue of Hashem, meaning with oil, par sheni, a second par, ben bakar, also ben bakar, tikach lechatas. Okay, so over here, a par ben bakar, it doesn't even say what the first par is for. I assume by process of elimination, if the second par ben bakar is for a chatos, the first par ben bakar is for a carbon oilo. Let's see Rashi. Rashi posikhes. V'lochu par ben bokar, v'hu oila, exactly what I just alluded to. How does Rashi know that? By process of elimination. Or stam, whenever you bring a carbon, stam, without any descriptions of carbon oila. V'oila, k'mosha kosev, asei eswechot oila. Rashi doesn't want it. Rashi, because since later in the pasuk it says what it is, so we know that's going to be carbon oila. hu karbon tzibur ba'avodah zarah. Now here he's saying an incredible chiddush. The reason why the levim they shall take, I'm assuming it's one par, is because there is a halacha that if Bezdin makes it, there's a new fad in society. Okay, all of a sudden we have a dilemma: should we kneel before Black Lives Matter? Should we kneel? So you go to Bezdin, and they ask Bezdin, is it permitted to kneel before the image of the king, of the dreamer? Is it permitted to kneel? Solidarity with our brethren. It was a terrible crime against humanity. A person was murdered. And the Rabbanim, the Bezdin, they deliberate, the Sanhedrin, they come out of Psak Halacha, mutter! It's mutter to kneel, to bow before the king. It's mutter.
In Israel, in Sephardi, they found a 6-inch diameter round water spout that is made in the shape of a lion's head. A water spout,
that
takes water for a pipe to drink.
Yeah.
And they said it's identified by the archaeologist as an avodah zarah.
Ah.
Because you weren't allowed to drink from you're bending down in front of a lion's head.
Wow. From the pipe. So here.
We found it this week. So
and then.
Whoever the Bezdin asked him how to be a reformed Bezdin.
Okay, then the best says it's mutter, show your solidarity. And then after there's an uproar, and the Bezdin realizes they made a big mistake. That bowing before a bowing down is a maisa avodah zarah mamish. And the halacha is the Bezdin HaGadol makes a psak halacha that it's permitted to kneel. And then they realize
even the congressman who supposedly went on their knees yesterday,
yeah.
If you look carefully, you see some of the old guys couldn't go on a knee, they just crouch.
Okay.
They knew if they go on a knee, they'd never get up.
So then they realize they made a mistake. This is called, they have to bring a par, helam, davar, shel tzibur. The Sanhedrin is required to recognize they made a mistake. They permitted Klal Yisrael to bow down to an Avodah Zarah, and they have to bring a special karbon. So here, that's exactly what Rashi is telling us what the Levim are doing. The Levim are now the replacements for the firstborns. The firstborns worshipped an idol, the Egel HaZahav, and now the Levim are replacing them. And everything that's been done to initiate the Levim into the service is all to atone for the sin of the firstborns. And the sin was Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is Tameh. Avodah is like a dead body. It serves like a dead body, so that's why they shave their hair. And now they also have to bring a special carbon oiler, just like the Bezdin has to bring a special carbon when Bezdin, by mistake, permits the Tzibur to do something which they later realize was a form of idolatry. So that's what it's looking in the Rashi. Who carbon tzibur avodah zarah? Who par sheni? Ma tamul loy mar sheni? What is the meaning of the word sheni in the sheni? Loy malacha. Ma oila loy necheles. A chiddush. An oila is completely burnt. A chatos is not a chatos. It's eaten by the kohanim. Af chatos loy necheles. We have a proof to this in Teres Kehanim, and you know the unique halacha that this is the only time you have a carbon chatos that is not eaten. The Oimer Ani, Rashi says, so how often does Rashi say the words the Oimer Ani in Chamish Shechum Sheitoira? Very rarely. Do a computer search on Rashi. How many times does Rashi say the words V'oimer Ani? Very few times. V'oimer Ani, Shehayra Shohoisa, Shesor Hoya Lohem Lohavich Lachatas Avodah Zarah. Uzayra Shesor Hoya Lohem Lohavich Lachatas Avodah Zarah Impara Oila. So in other words, Rashi we are saying is that we're missing here the Sa'ir. Because on the Bezdin, makes a decision that it's permitted to do something which they later realize was a form of idolatry, the Beis Din has to bring two animals, a par and a soir. And here, they're bringing two porin. They're not following the standard. How come? It should be consistent. If this is a carbon to atone for Avodah Zarah by the Tzibur, it should be a par for a carbon oilah and a soir for a carbon chatas, a goat. And here there's a par for an oilah and a par for the chatas. Now, there's a similarity, just like when it comes to the par and the soir. The soir is not eaten either. The soir is completely burnt. That's why in this case, the par that's being brought as a carbon chatos is also completely burnt. But it's not like the soyer in that the soyer is a soyer and the par is a par. And Rashi says this was a unique situation. Let's now take a look at the Targum. Targum Pasuches. V'lochu, it says we have the yis bun. The yis bun means to take. A tor bar toire. Okay, the word tor, it's a good vocabulary word, is a par. Bar toire. It's the same word, bokar. According to the Targum, it's the same exact word. Umincha se, a mincha of salt or flour, defila, mingled, bim shach and oil, vesar tinyan, a second tar, bar toire, tisa, they shall bring lichatos. Okay, there are no chidushim of here, at least on face value, it's very straightforward. Let's go do our 21 more pasik. We have 3 minutes. V'ikravto es ha-levim lefnei ha-oil moed, v'ikalto es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael. Two instructions in one pasuk. You shall bring the levim before the oil moed, and you shall assemble the entire assembly of the Jewish people. Rashi pasuk tes, v'ikalto es kol hadas, lefi shalevim nesunim l'karbon kaparo tachtehem, being that the levim were given over as a karbon kaparo tachtehem, Yavou v'yamdu al karbonam v'yismuchu esdeim aleihem. So the pasuk, according to Rashi, says something that is totally off the charts. The Levim are considered to be a sacrifice, a human sacrifice. You thought that human sacrifice came to an end? They did not. The entire tribe of the Levim were considered to be a karbon of atonement on behalf of the entire Klal Yisrael. The service that the Levim do in the Beis HaMikdash is in essence a korban that a Yisrael offers. And the law is that when a person brings a sacrifice, you must show up. A person must be present in the Beis HaMikdash when the sacrifice is being offered. He has to lean his hands upon the sacrifice and confess, I have done this Avera. I was Mechalel Shabbos B'Shoigeg. You must confess. Just like a Balabais must confess upon the animal when he brings a carbon, so too Klal Yisrael must put their hands on the heads of the Levim and confess that they've offered an idol, they've worshipped an idol, and now they're bringing their best people, the Levim, are going to be their sacrifice. They're going to be given over to Hashem for service. That's what it says in Rashi. Let's take a look over here at the Targum. Targum Pasuk Tes, V'ikravtu sekorei yos levo'ei, kodom before mashkan zimna. That's called the temporary. The Ohel Mon means the temporary mishkan. V'sichnosh, you shall gather, yos kol kinisha b'nei shol. Okay, this is pretty straightforward. These things, straightforward things. Let's see Pasuk Yud. There's just a Pasuk in the Targum. V'ikravtu sekorei levo'ei Hashem, you shall bring them near. And the Bnei Shol shall rest their hands. They shall rest their hands upon the Levim, because again, this the grash of the poor, this is a sacrifice. And a sacrifice, you have to rest your hands upon the head of the animal. There's no Rashi, there's Targum. Targum says, Usukorev, Usukorev Yos Levo'e Kodem Hashem, V'yis Mechun Bnei Shol Yos Yidehoin Al Levo'e, and they shall lean their hands upon the Levim. Alright, we have to stop here. It's 8 o'clock. We're up to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Tomorrow to be continued. Have a good night. Good night. Be well. Good night. What?
Can you hear me well?
No? Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you well. How you doing, Mark?
On the so all the Bnei Israel put their hands
yes.
on the Levia?
Yes. I don't know what that means. What does that mean? 600,000 people put their hands on 280 something, how many, not too many Levium. We'll see tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow. Yes, that's what it says. They put their hands on the Levium.
Okay, the other question I have, what I got a little confused is, what?
Again, he's chopping them.
Again, chop. Okay, so we'll, I'll think about it. Okay.
Now, Mark, reason that they put their hands on the Levium before they made them, not after, because
right.
If they would have heard them sing, they would have listened to Jesus.
Shkaya.
All right, good night. We'll leave it with that. Good night, good night. Take care, good night, good night.
How you doing, number five?
I'm signing off. Take care. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Yeah, I'm in love.